Well, I'm very honoured to have you here at this table and for this time. Oh, no. We're talking about, I know finances and financials can make some people feel a little bit, I quite enjoy it. So maybe that's why I'm here doing what I do, I guess. I'll introduce myself quickly and then I'm really keen to throw it open to you. One of the things I love about my work and what I do is that everyone's individual circumstances and what they're wanting to achieve is so different. So there are general things I can talk about, but I'll probably hit two of you and miss the rest. So I'd rather see if we can engage everyone in one way or another as we go along. So Billy, as was mentioned earlier, Billy Oswell, Share and Partners, my business is on Mary Street, with a group of now about 25 or so, really great people, great place to work, love it, and I guess the key to what we do is meet with people and work with them on an ongoing basis to understand where they are, what they really value, and where they want to get to or what they want to change or what they want to protect in what they've currently got. And then putting the two together and working out whether they align, whether there's a mismatch, whether there are any risks, or whether there are any opportunities that they maybe haven't seen that we can change to make things better. So it covers a broad range of things, from looking at taxes to savings to superannuation to risk protection insurance to investments and different styles. So there's a huge range of things that we look at, and it's constantly changing and evolving as things do. So never a dull moment in the boring old world of being financially savvy, I guess. But with all that in mind, as I said, I'll throw back to you. But is there any particular area that anyone wants to have a look at? We've covered so far with other groups, some of the things we've looked at are things like savings, which are, the rates are pretty dismal at the moment, and what can we look at in that regard? I know there's a superannuation table, so we've steered relatively clear of that, but we can look at that as well. Different types of investments and what to consider when making an investment is another one. And general budgeting ideas and things to help with that. Anywhere we want to start particularly.
Investment sounds good.
Investments? Yeah. Perfect. sounds good. So investments are it's a really broad topic, and one of the great things about the investment market today is also one of the things that makes it a bit daunting or a bit difficult. If you go back probably only 25, 30 years, investments was buying shares in your blue chips, like Commonwealth Bank that we can see out the window there. You might hold a portfolio of Commonwealth Bank, ANZ, Westpac. You buy them early, you'll hold them forever, you'll receive the distributions as income, and everything will sort of work out. That's a model that's changing a bit, I suppose, because if you look at the biggest companies in the world now, it's companies like Alphabet, which is Google. It's Apple, which has been around for a while, admittedly. But we've then got Netflix is one of the biggest companies in the world. In Australia, we've got brands like Afterpay, Appen, Xero, WiseTech, all these names that weren't around 5-6 years ago. And they're the ones that have had huge appreciations in value. So technology, yeah, it's changed. As with everything, it's changed everything. And what it's meant for investments is that it can be difficult to know where to start. Putting all that aside for a moment, I think the key is when you're looking at starting an investment, and it's different for everything, but one of the conversations I'll have with someone who's looking to start an investment is obviously looking at what amount you're going to allocate, both initially and on an ongoing basis. The most effective investments are ones that we continue to contribute to regularly and with absolute uniformity, I guess. So if you've got, as an example, I guess, if you had, say, $20,000 to invest, and just $20,000, I'd say maybe start with $15,000 and work out how much per month you can sacrifice from your regular living expenses to contributing to that as well. investments or plans where we contribute regularly are so much more effective than just putting money in at one time and letting it sit there. So we use mostly what we'd call managed investments. But yes, the underlying exposure is largely shares. You also get through that property and fixed interest and all that sort of stuff. First consideration being how much you want to put in. The next thing that's really important, I think, for investments is understanding what your time frame is. If your investment time frame is I have some money, I have $5,000, but I want $10,000 to go on a big trip next year in 12 months' time, then putting that $5,000 into shares and hoping that it's going to still be there next year and be more and you'll have your $10,000 is not a robust investment strategy. It might be there. You might have more. You might have 15 and have a really good trip. You might have $2,500 and then your trip's in the tatters. So understanding your time frame is really important. For shorter time frames, you can afford to take less risk. As your time frame goes out further and further, an easy example being superannuation, which for a lot of is a really long term investment until we retire and we start accessing it. You can afford to take higher levels of risk. And by risk, I don't mean investing in like speculative mining stocks or buying Bitcoin or something like that. I mean allocating more of your money to shares or investments that go up and down in value than into, say, term deposits, where you know that what you put in, you'll get back at the end. The difference being for a 12-month term deposit at the moment, you might get 2% if you're lucky. So you put in $1,000 today. In 12 months, you'll get back your $1,000 plus $20 on top of that. So not a huge return on your $1,000. The alternative, of course, that we spoke about is a riskier investment or a more growth style investment. Such as shares, as an example. The downside being that if we're talking about a top 12-month time frame, I couldn't tell you whether Commonwealth Bank will be worth more in 12 months than it is today. I could do some really good-looking calculations. I could bring up great research. I could make it all look really convincing as to why it's going to increase in value. At the end of the day, I couldn't tell you, and nor could anyone else, because there's so much that can change. If we look at, for example, the Royal Commission early last year and the effect that had on the price of Commonwealth Bank stocks, I'm not sure that too many people 12 months before saw where that was coming from. But if we take that 12-month time frame and we move it along and shift along to, say, 10 years, then we get a bit more certainty that looking at the price of Commonwealth Bank and what it's done over the long term, we know that it might increase. If we add another element into it, and stick with me for a moment, but instead of just looking at Commonwealth Bank, we look at the whole of the Australian share market. So we take out some of the risks specific to Commonwealth Bank. We take out that, say, the CEO is a dodgy character, and I don't know, not the CEO, hypothetically, is a dodgy character and is siphoning away money, or the ATM scandal that they had last year where people were laundering money through their deposit ATM. All these random factors, we take those risks out, and we throw in Westpac and ANZ and other banks, then we eliminate the banking risk specific to Commonwealth Bank. If we take it a step further and we go outside just banks and we add in companies like Rio and BHP, who are resource companies who have some relationship with the bank, but not a huge one, we start to reduce the risks as we move further and further out from this one company. So that's, I guess, the next part of working out your time frame is then trying to work out how you can get the best possible return for the lowest possible amount of risk. And the more different parts you have to your portfolio, you can reduce what they call unsystematic or specific risk to Commonwealth. You reduce by having ANZ and Westpac and Suncorp and other banks in there. And then if we move out of financial services and we look at resources companies and we look at some of the tech companies that we spoke about, then we're getting different parts of the market that don't all move together the same way all the time. So in that way, you can smooth out your ride a little bit. I know that's a broad sort of concept to throw at you, but anyway, there we go. So yeah, that would be an important thing, and once you've got time frame worked out and understanding how much risk to take, then you can start to really drill down into where the money should actually go, and things like whose name it should be in, how it should be owned, whether you own it personally or whether you look at a different structure that might be more tax effective. We mentioned superannuation, which the maximum tax rate's 15%. If you have investments outside super, you're paying tax at your marginal tax rate, which is, you know, normally between about 32 and 45 cents. So you get a free hit by investing in super. Downside is you can't access it straight away. So there's a few different things to consider, I guess. The great things about the changes in investment markets and how they operate, I suppose, is that it's really accessible. You can build a portfolio like what I spoke about with lots of different parts without needing millions of dollars to put in straight away. You can do it with a very small amount of money to start up with and with very low cost on that. So there are benefits to the complexity. The difficult part, I guess, is navigating. And that's where you probably make the decision whether you want to dive into it and do all the learning and reading and education and everything else, or whether you want to instead do your research into an advisor who you trust and who can do it, work with you to get the result. So that's where someone like me would benefit, again, benefit you. So yeah, that's a very quick overview of investment. Did that answer largely what you other types of investments, of course, you know, property is a popular one that a lot of people like. A lot of people have done well through property investments in this country. The benefits are if you buy a property and you get people in and they pay rent and they're good tenants, you've got a regular income stream. The downside is, one, you need a lot of money to do it off the bat because property isn't cheap, particularly not in this country or in this city even. And two, it's not divisible. So you're either all in for the property you buy or you're all out. So if you get 2 or 3 years in and you need $100,000 and your property's worth $400,000, you can't just sell off one of the bedrooms and there you go, or take off the front door and sell that. Compared to a share portfolio, as an easy example, you could sell part of that. So there's flexibility, and there's, you know, far more benefits and disadvantages to each. So I'd really encourage, if you're thinking about it, to go through and look at it in a bit of detail, and or speak to someone who can sort of lay out all the options for you and work out which is the best path for you to go. As I said, that's the benefit, I think, of financial advice. It's come a long way from maybe going back 30 years or so. It was really about stock picking and selling it at CBA, Commonwealth Bank, over Westpac or something like that. It's called financial services because it's a service. What I do is provide a service. I don't pick Commonwealth Bank or Westpac Bank. I look at the overall picture and work out how you're best suited to what's going to suit you best to meet your goals, I guess. So that's the hugely individual. Yeah, that's right. Other financial savvy things. Should we look at? I think one to mention, and I won't go into budgeting, it's normally a subject that puts people to sleep, I think, unless anyone wants me to. There are some good tools out there to help with budgeting. If anyone's interested, let me know and I'm happy to send those on to you. But it's a good time at the moment. There seems to be a bit of a spotlight on providers and whether they're doing the best job for what they're charging. Energy, things like energy companies come to mind pretty quickly, but also phone providers and everything else. I think it's worthwhile just checking in on these every once a year or so. I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but a lot of the services or the products that we receive seem to have gone to subscription services, the original one being the old magazines and newspapers, and they were, to my mind, maybe the only ones who did it, and phones, I guess, came along as well. now you've got, you know, your Netflix, your Spotify, your Apple, yeah, everything's paid on a monthly basis and just sort of automatically happens. That's right. It has to come along with even, you know, your Nespresso machine, you need to buy the, all this stuff. So all these companies really encourage subscription services because it's so effective, but it sort of slips in and we just adjust to, okay, Spotify comes out, I've got $10 less this month than what I had last. And it goes on and on and on. But I think it's worth... with each of those, a couple of things with each of those. One, have a look every now and then at the monthly transaction list and just say, oh, hang on, I'm still paying for Stan and I haven't watched it in six... I did that the other day. I haven't watched it in 6 months. Okay, don't need that anymore. And go through and see whether there's any that you're not using. I guess as well, a lot of them offer discounts, things like family discounts, things like student discounts, all this sort of stuff. So are you getting the best deal for how it's structured? Or could you look at getting a better deal than what you currently are? And the final part to that, and if you're not running a budget or if you don't have regular savings or something like that set up, use that trick or what all the companies are doing to you, use it to your own advantage. So set up an amount that automatically goes from your pay into an investment or into a savings account or into whatever the case may be.
That is time. So
take a bit back. Yeah. No worries at all.